We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to the guys, Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Ohtani's hitting close to the moon. Whee! Here he goes. We're going to have a little swing off. You get three swings.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and he is two for two.
Oh,
and Juan Soto just went three for three. Can't do better than that. Here to defend and here to post a huge number, Alonso. What may be his final year in a Rocky uniform. He's ready to go in the 2021 Derby. Home run total for Story, 20. One more to win it. And walks it off. What a finish! Alonso defends his title!
I know we got to get to Tommy Kern, and we'll do some football hour two. Gresh and Keith, you're about 20 minutes of uninterrupted sports talk now at 11:08. Do you know the rules of Home Run Derby after last night?
Leave the yard. Hit as many ding-dongs as he can, bracket style, so you have to beat your opponent.
That's right.
You have to hit more home runs than your opponent.
Is it 2 minutes? Is it 3 minutes?
I think it's three.
How does the bonus time work?
That's where you lose me.
Yeah, and it used to be that you had 10 outs. It was kind of easy to follow in a way where you would have 10 outs. You didn't. 10 balls hit the ground and are not over the fence, and there you go.
But
you're out of there.
Part of it, too, is what they wanted to crack down on a little bit was the year that Josh Hamilton hit 28 in the first round and then didn't win the whole thing. And so I think they're trying to figure out, because now...
and Pete Alonso hit 35.
So, for example, like, the guy who goes second,
yes,
you don't keep going. Like, it happened last night, one of the times Pete Alonso won his round. He was like, all right, I'm done. Like, he needed to get 16. I think
it was the
16,
second round something like that. Because like in the first round, he went first and put up 35.
But, yeah, the bonus time and then the swing off and all that stuff, it does complicate things just a little bit. Because they're trying to shorten it, right? Because everything else in baseball is so long that the 10 outs, you got guys taking pitches, you got guys stepping out, taking their time, and that can drag. It used to be... It's as fun as it was, I think, with some of the stars of days gone by, it would also take forever at times. So they tried to speed it up, but...
They tried to do it in a window from 8 to 10 last night. I think it ended at about a little after 11 or right around 11.
Yeah.
So it clearly didn't work.
Making way for the celebrity softball game.
And by the way, the two-screen setup... No way.
A little jarring.
Gave me a headache.
And then because there was like a smaller screen for the actual at bat, and then it was a slightly larger screen for what was going on in the outfield.
No bueno.
Like, you don't trust your guys to, you know, take it and then do the old shot to the seats.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word, FACE. F-A-C-E. Text FACE to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. We'll get you an hour from now with another chance for you to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Take us wherever you go. You can listen on the Odyssey app. Ask your smart speaker to play WEEI. And we'll get back into the rules of Home Run Derby and the way it was presented in just a little bit, because it's time to talk some football right now. Joining us on the Harbor One hotline, Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. And Tommy is brought to us by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Tom E., let's get into, I'm curious, because I've never even asked you this question. Are you a fantasy footballer at all? Because right now it feels like a lot of the football analysis that is going on in the country is really tied into fantasy and everyone's projections. Where does fantasy football fit into your world?
Watching my sons devote unbelievable amounts of time to it along with their friends, and it's been that way for 7 or 8 years. And them wandering up to me and asking me about the backup running back for the Carolina Panthers or some fifth wide receiver and whether they should get him. I'm like, I know the Patriots a mile thick. Uh-huh. I know the Carolina Panthers 4 inches thick.
Yeah, I understand that. So if they start picking up, you know, the fourth running back on the Patriots, you know something's up. You know Tom's tied in there somehow, and that's how they're getting a sleeper.
Exactly right.
Yeah, right.
J.J. Taylor picked up early.
Yep.
They were tipped off.
They heard that from right here. Tom, since we last talked, a lot has gone on, including Stephon Gilmore talking to Josina Anderson, and then that information getting out there. There's been some other reports. I think Burt Breer saying that he's looking for a Darius Slay type of contract. I think last time we talked, I thought, all right, you know, he'll be back at some point. He's missing the mini camp, and maybe he misses a lot of training camp, but he'll be back. And I know when you asked Belichick about it, you were asking him, you know, this was at the end of mini camp. You were talking about, what's the concern level? You know, you gave it like a 1.8 or whatever, something like that. I don't know. Now I'm starting to feel a little bit more concerned that maybe he's not on the team week one.
I think he will be. And in that thread that Josina had, what I think was overlooked a little bit was the idea that he talked about common ground. So while he might understand that a Darius Slay contract might be what he deserves relative to his performance and what he's done, it's not going to be likely. So the common ground that the Patriots would have is you either play for what we're paying you. He wants a Darius Slay contract. Someplace in between, to me, is going to be a Tom Brady type vanishing contract. It's 2 years, but it's not. The second year isn't going to happen. So it's basically a raise.
Tommy, do you think there is a scenario in which this contract situation isn't settled, but they get to the drop dead date and Gilmore's got a report, but yet maybe he doesn't see the field until they could figure it out? Is there a way that, so you could see a way to where they could kind of circumvent or at least figure out how to get around the new rules in the CBA relative to holdouts?
Yeah, and that makes the most sense because Stephon Gilmore has to show up with his surgically repaired right quad and show everyone involved, doctors, trainers, that you feel comfortable with the investment. Look, I think this is one big aspect of it too that hasn't really been discussed. Robert Kraft is going to have to cut probably another $10 million for him at the very least in terms of a raise if he wants him to play this year. So he's already put out $170 million in bonus money that ain't coming back. He's put out $250 million in contract values overall. So when Stephon Gilmore says, can I have another $10 million? I just don't think that Robert Kraft's going to say, yeah, that's fine, give it to him. I really don't. And I think that Stephon Gilmore has to understand that dynamic with Belichick. They went 7-9 last year. They were told to move on from the quarterback because they had different alternatives. The quarterback went to Tampa Bay. He won a Super Bowl. Now they've spent $250 million in contracts. Hey, can we have another $10 million to assuage the feelings of this guy? There's going to be a point at which, you know, Kraft is going to say, I don't think so. No, figure it out.
Do you read anything at all? And I don't know if it's related to Gilmore or not. Just, you know, we're talking about money. They are under the cap and they do have money. But I noticed Dante Hightower the other day on Instagram posted some graphic about how he has the most QB pressures by off the ball linebackers since 2012, because that's super relevant. And there's a list of him and a few other guys on there. He has the most, and he has a little quote on here. Pressure can burst a pipe or pressure can make a diamond. And obviously people are loving that, the hashtag boom tower and all that.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on there? You read anything to that? Are they asking him to take a pay cut or what's going on?
Well, he is carrying, I believe it's a $9 million cap hit. I'd have to double check that, but it's he, Gilmore, and another veteran player had the three highest. McCourty,
right? Yeah.
So I wouldn't be stunned, but it's asking a lot to have someone take a pay cut when you're already $16 million under the cap.
Right.
But on the other hand, too, Hightower isn't necessarily, you know, a guy who's playing. He needs to play at a $10 million level for them to feel okay about it. So, I mean, those two things are on parallel streets, I would think, for the Patriots. But for Hightower, he looks at it and goes, no, those two things are interconnected. I'm not taking a pay cut so that you can put more money in your pocket. I should get that. Mm-hmm. To me, those guys love the Pro Football Focus numbers when they're working in their direction.
Sure do.
Otherwise, they're like, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what the cover
well,
is. But I've always
thought they love to retweet when they are high on a list. I'll tell you that much.
Tommy, that's fair.
Why not?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Tommy Kern with us. No, but you mentioned the cap number, and I wanted to get to that because, I don't know, maybe this will be the first year Bill Belichick will gobble up every bit of space and have nothing to spend during the season where it's a 17-game season and you're going to have an injury slush fund. Normally it'd be around 10, Tommy, but do you actually have to have anywhere between 10 and 13 million in cap space to be able to get through what will be, I think, a more grueling season given the way it's set to change this year?
I don't think that they're going to gobble up their cap space. I think that they just escaped from cap jail. They're on parole. They don't want to go back into cap jail. They are not going to do anything to just whittle away and winnow away that cap space so that they're up against it. I really don't think that they're – and that's another reason I think that Gilmore might be
right
swimming upstream for an extension is they want to now squirrel away. They did it for a few years. Now they're in a great spot. I don't think that they're going to extend and be I would imagine they're going to have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 million all year long, Andy.
How do you think N'Keal Harry's trade demand was met by Bill Belichick? And ultimately, what do you think will happen to N'Keal Harry?
I think that it must, you know, it's a spit take for Bill.
Yeah.
Of course we want to trade you. It's not working. You don't like, this is not the right place for you. We wish you well. You're 23 years old. You got a whole life ahead of you. Let's get you to a spot that works better for you. It's too bad, but that's the way it is. That would be my perception of how it would be. Look, with Harry, I believe that it was probably tied to the avalanche of negative press that he has gotten and kind of has earned in terms of his production. So when everyone is saying this guy's on the bubble, this guy's not going to make the team, at some point the agent decided, well, let's try and give a little pushback and say that it's not working for him either. But I think that the end result is it's, you know, again, like J.J. Taylor demanding a trade. I'm not getting enough. What?
Right.
J.J.?
Right.
I mean, production level wise, it's similar. I mean, when we talk about the guys who are out producing and we have Gilmore and Harry talking, and then you have out producers like J.C. Jackson and Jacoby Myers. I mean, if they were putting their hand up and saying a little bit more for me over here, I'd be a hell of a lot more understanding.
It's interesting that you just went down that road, Tommy, because at what point does an agent say, be patient? Like for N'Keal Harry, you got to push it, right? For J.C. Jackson, it's, hey, man, go play. You're going to get yours. It feels like the players are now like, oh, I had a great year. I should be paid at the top of the pay scale. Feels like some of these guys have kind of forgotten how the union has sort of set things up for them and that maybe direct your anger at some guy down in D.C., not your head coach who's trying to run things by the rules.
Right. Well, and again, maybe it's just the way that this is going to work anyway. I mean, J.C. Jackson gets a bump in his contract anyway because of, you know, the performance stuff at the end of the year, but certainly not relative to him being the 10th best corner in the league. I always think that a lot of it is related to your draft status anyway. As you, me, Rich, we all in our businesses, there was a happy to have the job level to what we had for a long time. And if it meant working weekends, you know, 20 straight hours, whatever. You're going to do it because you're happy to have the job. J.C. Jackson, Jacoby Myers, they're happy to have the job, and they remain thankful for the opportunity, the same way Malcolm Butler did. With a Gilmore, with a Harry, you've already been told you're great and we need you. So that's where the agitation comes. So we watched it all unfold with Malcolm Butler. I think J.C. Jackson's going to follow along exactly the same lines. since the Super Bowl.
I was going to say, hopefully not the exact same line. Only a slight change there.
But it's so similar, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, it definitely is. And going back to Gilmore, how much leverage would you say that he has?
Not a lot.
Interesting.
And the reason I say that is his leverage exists in that the team went 7-9, and Bill does not want to have a repeat of a 7-9 season, and he understands that the best defensive player that allows them to play the most effective scheme is Stephon Gilmore. But he has seen this movie before, and he understands that, look, I still have J.C. Jackson and Jonathan Jones and Adrian Phillips and Devin McCourty and Kyle Duggar in my secondary. We'll figure it out. Believe me, we'll figure it out. We're not going to get held up by a guy with a surgically repaired quad who's not going to come in and let us talk about it and sit down and sit there on the sidelines until we figure it out and he's ready to go. I mean, that to me would be my perception of it. And of course, we understand too that it's $50,000 a day plus $390,000 for every game, preseason games included. So if he decides to miss up to week 10, that's $3.9 million plus the 390 times four. So that's $5.2 million plus the $2 million worth of training camp fines. He's breaking even at that point because you can't pay out more than you're paid.
Wow, there you go. There's a sobering thought to end with. Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. 2 weeks of getaway for Tommy, and then training camp will be upon us. So, Tommy, enjoy the downtime. We will catch up with you soon. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great couple weeks. We'll see you soon.
You too. Thanks, Tom. There goes Tommy Curran with us on the Harbor One hotline. And there is another former Patriot in the news. I don't know if you saw this. I didn't want to go down this road with Tommy because I think we can have more fun with it.
All right.
Did you see which former Patriot is trying to win a Senate seat out of the state of Arkansas?
I did. I believe third round bust. Right, third round bust?
Third or fourth.
All right, let me go.
Jake Beckett.
Yes.
So here's the way it was described in this story that I'm reading. Former professional football player.
A little loose.
College football star.
Now you're talking.
And Army veteran Jake Beckett became the latest Republican to launch a 2022 primary challenge against two-term GOP Senator John Boozman. Of Arkansas.
John Boozman.
Boozman.
2012 third round pick by the Patriots, played in a total of eight games.
Third rounder.
Eight games.
So that bonus is funding the campaign.
43 snaps.
They
played 43 snaps.
How many of those are special teams?
Oh, no,
43
defensive snaps.
Oh, 43 defensive.
36 special teams.
Okay, there you go. So it was almost even Steven.
Yeah.
He released a video on social media, and there will be a lot of people who will disagree with Mr. Beckett, I am sure, as is the want of people.
I think half are going to really like it, half are going to really hate it. That's kind of my guess.
That's exactly right. And in Arkansas. Now, if I said to you, of all of the Patriots you've been around, which guy would you have thought would have gone into politics?
Jake Beckett, lower on my list.
Way low on the list. Yeah. Very forgettable, by the way.
I forgot all about him.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I was racking my brain today trying to think. Believe it or not, Cam Newton could be really good in politics.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because he's deferential. He is a great talker. And he's the kind of guy who kind of lights up the room whenever. Some people light up a room when they leave it.
I think
some
McCourty
people
could.
Light up a room when they go in it, and that is Cam.
I think both McCourty's could.
Oh,
I think
good
Matthew
call.
Slater could.
Oh, Slater.
Yeah,
that's
I think
good
a lot
yeah.
of these guys they could, and they're already doing stuff.
That's right. Like, they're socially
they're
aware.
They're already making moves in that department. And if they wanted to do that, I could see it.
I went down the road of offensive linemen because normally those dudes. Like, they can think a little bit.
Right.
So, no, not like Brian Stork is going to be, running for office. But, some of those guys have the ability to sort of, string together some cogent thoughts and things like that.
Jake Beckett was selected two picks ahead of T.Y. Hilton.
If you can have that one back, maybe. The old switcheroo there, if you could.
Ah, middle round wide receivers. Ah. Bill doesn't look at those guys.
True.
You gotta, if T.Y. Hilton was drafted in the second round, now there you go. So good stuff there from Tommy Kern. By the way, he has a column up on NBCSportsBoston.com with some training camp predictions before he dips out for 2 weeks, because we are like 2 weeks away from the start of training camp.
We're right there.
Down at Gillette. I can't wait to see the first kid that gets run over with his face pressed up against the fence, because you couldn't do it last
Always
year.
Fun. Yep.
So you know these, you know, half scuzzes who are out there sending these kids with footballs to go get signed, so then they can turn around and flip them on eBay.
You get a Jake Beckett autograph.
I mean, they don't
the
care.
Next if Jake Beckett could be out
right.
there this year.
And they don't care if those kids have like fence marks on their face getting pushed up against that thing. By God, they got to sell that football for $79.99 to people like Shime, who will now trend.
Wherever you're working from, Gresh and Keefe go where you do. Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
My man just started throwing babies out the window. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar.
Connection made with Aguilar. Touchdown, Raiders.
Lofting it up there. What a reach by Aguilar for a touchdown.
Carr dials it up. Touchdown. He hits Aguilar.
Unlike Aguilar.
Derek Carr in that bad throw and lofted up for Aguilar.
Makes the adjustment and the move. The veteran Aguilar waving his way. He will go. Touchdown, Raiders.
So is Nelson Aguilar destined to be the New England Patriots' number one wide receiver next year? Yesterday we broke down the Patriots' running backs. Today we'll get into the old wide receivers here with Gresh and Keefe. 11:35 is the time on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, the Odyssey app. Make sure you take us wherever you go with the Odyssey app. So first question really is, are we back to what it was when Tom Brady first started? And no, we're not going down a Tom Brady road. However, Rich, there was that philosophy that we would hear about all the time. Tom Brady throws to the open guy.
Yeah, favorite receiver, the open receiver.
It doesn't matter who it is. No, it's very much not true at all. However, that was the narrative early on. You have David Patton catching touchdowns in the Super Bowl, and it's the whole, oh, he throws to the open guy. Are we back to that philosophy? Now, I know that sounds silly, and people are, of course you throw to the open guy. Yeah. No, it doesn't always work that
way. Well, last year, no, they didn't have any open guys.
Well, that's true. And the ones that were trying to catch footballs that were at their feet.
I was going
to
say, Cam Newton probably can't hit the open guy.
Well,
so
there
it
you
really
go.
Doesn't matter. So, yeah, I don't think they have. And especially for this conversation, we're not talking about the tight ends. We're not talking about James White. We're talking about the wide receivers, correct?
That's right.
So the wide receivers, I don't think are very good. Like, I don't like the group, but I also don't think it's a strength of the team anyway. Like, if Cam Newton's a starting quarterback, and you and I both think he is, at least to begin the year, and maybe for a little while, I think there's a pretty good chance he's the quarterback all year. Because I think the defense is going to be really good. I think the running game is going to be really good, which we highlighted yesterday. So I think they're going to be able to win games even without a quarterback throwing for 300 yards, which most teams in the NFL kind of need that. I don't think this team does. So the wide receivers, I don't really expect a lot out of. And maybe the stats will look kind of similar to early on Troy Brown, David Givens, David Patton, that kind of thing.
Because I know that we are leaving the tight ends out of this discussion, and the tight ends do have an impact on how much production the wide receivers will really have. And I know we're going to weave in and out of what will happen on the field and then how that ties into fantasy football. Because when I looked at one of the fantasy magazines and I looked at the list of all the wide receivers in terms of draftable wide receivers this year, one has Nelson Aguilar 39th in terms. So if you just go 30 teams,
seems high,
right?
Seems high. Well, 32 teams.
Way too high.
32 teams.
That's right. Yeah. So it makes you. You're right. I kind of feel the same thing that in terms
no
of
way. There's some teams that have three receivers I'd rather have than him.
Well, and that's the thing. I wonder if in terms of some of the fantasy and the number analysis, that with Nelson Aguilar, it won't so much be about him having 85 or 90 catches for 1,300 yards, but that he might have 50 catches and have 8 touchdowns.
All right, so career year last year for Nelson Aguilar, at least in yards and yards per catch, and tied for a career high in touchdowns. So last year, in a contract year,
yep,
playing with Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
He had 896 yards and 8 touchdowns on 48 catches. His high water mark in his career is 64 catches, but he had less touchdowns and less yards in that season. So with, now you add Cam Newton to the mix.
Right.
No chance. In fantasy purposes, I wouldn't touch Nelson Aguilar in any round. I have no interest in him. I have no interest in Kendrick Bourne. Jacoby Myers might be sort of that last round pick if you're in a PPR league. Like, I don't like any of the receivers.
So I got another magazine here. All right. Right? This is Lindy's.
Lindy's.
And they broke it down by tiers in position, right?
Oh, okay.
Like, for example, their tier one wide receivers in terms of fantasy this year: Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Stephon Diggs, Calvin Ridley, and DeAndre Hopkins. Pretty good group.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to go all the way to tier six to find Nelson Aguilar. But
right,
listen to the players that they have listed as other tier six wide receivers.
Okay.
T.Y. Hilton, Devontae Smith, Christian Kirk,
oh my God,
Michael Pittman Jr., Jalen Reagor, Sterling Shepard, John Brown, and Antonio Brown.
I'd rather have about 5 or 6 of those guys.
I was going to say, I mean, Kirk is wildly inconsistent, and a couple other guys you mentioned in there I might not want, but and Reagor, I wouldn't want him. But like Pittman, based on what Pittman did at the end of last year, and now with Carson Wentz there, and I guess Carson Wentz is a bit of a wild card, but those Colts receivers could potentially be a lot better.
Devontae Smith
has so much
of a higher ceiling.
Yeah, that is.
So you know what's really funny is, in terms of the rankings in Athlon for fantasy football, 51, Nelson Aguilar, 52, Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I want Devontae Smith over him every time. Like, Jalen Hurts isn't going to be a great throw of the football, but like, if he is throwing the football, it's going to be to Devontae Smith. It's not going to be to Jalen Reagor. It's maybe a little bit to Dallas Goedert, but like, Zach Ertz is probably gone, and then your only target is going to be Devontae Smith. And he's not throwing it to Travis Fulgham.
No, and we've seen rookie receivers, obviously, N'Keal Harry does not apply, but we've seen rookie receivers show up and have monster years. Like,
right,
they can figure it out, and they'll find ways to use them, especially if you're going to draft one that high in the first round.
Smith should
they're
going
to get him the ball.
Smith on talent should be ranked higher in terms of fantasy. I think the ding on him is that it's Jalen Hurts. Like, I think there are just a lot of people who right now are pretty sketch on how well that guy is going to play, because I don't have a lot of faith that down in Philadelphia that Jalen Hurts is going to play great football this year.
See, no, he may not. I liked him coming out, but I'm with you. I wouldn't guarantee he has a great year.
And that dopey coach is in there, too.
Oh,
that guy,
God.
Sirianni.
Yeah, my issue is more with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Because I think Hurts has some talent, and I think there's some potential there.
Yeah.
But I don't think the coaching staff is going to help him at all.
That feels like it could be a situation like Arizona a couple years ago, where
one
they're
done.
Like, oh, cut bait, see you later, need a new quarterback, we'll draft 100%. One in the top 10.
So, to me, I think in a vacuum, right, so say everybody had the same quarterback,
yep,
I think maybe Aguilar, maybe Myers could be considered top 50 wide receivers. But if you are factoring in the quarterback, I don't think either are in the top 50. I wouldn't want either guy. Like, fantasy purposes, wouldn't want them. They're, first of all, it's a loaded position. Look at the last 2 or 3 drafts where there's just been a million guys that have popped up and have been day one or day two draft picks, and most of them kind of hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, why Harry is such an outlier, because A.J. Brown's drafted after, D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, and these guys are awesome already, and let alone Justin Jefferson setting rookie records a year ago. So you have a lot of guys that are in their prime, and then you have some of the guys that are still holding on, like Julio Jones and sort of that age group. So, yeah, the Patriots, they're better than they were last year. And so on the first day of free agency, they spent so much money. The second day of free agency, they spent so much money. And I think we looked at Matt Judon and the two tight ends, bringing back Van Noy, and we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, and the receivers are better. It's like, well, yeah, they're better, but they're still not great.
Well, and that's the thing. I think a part of our discussion here in talking about these wide receivers, and that's why I started it with, is it just going to the open guy? Because this offense is not going to be based on how many different ways can we dress it up to get the slot receiver open. That was the Brady offense. Now,
yeah, because
it's,
what is that going to do for Newton?
That's exactly right. or for Mac.
Yeah.
It's going to be about the tight ends because it's the simplest way to balance the defense and make it easier, whether it's Cam who's had issues
right.
or a young rookie that you're trying to bring along. It used to be, where can we line up Edelman or Gronk? Mm-hmm. Now, then it turned into, where can we line up Edelman? And for a period of time, they were able to survive that way with where can we just put our little slot guy and find a way to get him open. Now you've got to reinvent everything. I mean, they got Kendrick Bourne. Most of the fantasy mags have Kendrick Bourne in between 70 and 80
yeah.
in terms of overall wide receivers in the league. And like with Aguilar, I kind of have an idea as to what I think he's going to do this year. Like, he will be fine. He will be... he'll be a consistent contributor unless he gets hurt. But Kendrick Bourne, I don't know what to make of that guy.
Nope, I have no clue.
Are they going to run reverses with him and stuff like that? Kind of like they used to do with Deebo Samuel? That's the guy I'm having a hard time conceptualizing fitting into this offense, and that's why it's going to be all about the tight end.
It seems like to me, Bourne, because they just signed him and they gave him a decent amount of money, that they're going to try to shoehorn him in early. It may not work, and then Jacoby Myers, lo and behold, will be there again like he was last year, and he'll be a more consistent player. I do like the tight ends, though. So I think the passing offense, which won't be electric, but I think those touchdowns will probably go to the tight ends. I think some of the key third downs where you're picking up first, like, will go to the tight ends. I think those guys are pretty good and hopefully are throws that, you know, again, Cam Newton had some success throwing to Greg Olsen when he was in Carolina. So hopefully some of those types of plays he can
play action stuff that they weren't really able to develop because you were throwing it to two rookies
correct.
And a guy who's really a blocking tight end who. Hell, might not even make the roster this year based on what they've done at that position.
Right.
I also think, too, that some of the Patriots are going to be undervalued, I think, in fantasy because of the uncertainty at quarterback, which is different than, say, Philly, who pushed all in on Hurts.
Right.
So it's him or nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas here, if Cam is Cam, you've at least got the kid to turn to. So there's that little bit of hope. But if you're a fantasy player, you're really not going to tie into hope. You'd rather have the certain thing.
There's really only like one way you draft any of these guys, and it's if you really think Mac Jones is going to start like midway through the season and you think he's any good. Like, that's the only time you even think about like taking Jacoby Myers, right? Because he's the possession guy. He's not going to be running a lot of deep routes. He'd probably be Mac Jones' number one target.
Honestly,
he's like a bye week fill in a PPR league flex.
I think I think Jones takes over, but right when that's about to happen, that to me is when I'd want to buy low on some of the, because you know that it isn't inconceivable to think that they might get off to a little bit of a like start and stop on offense again as they try to figure things out. So you know one of those tight ends is going to be undervalued come trade time and people are going to get impatient and you could maybe go grab one there. But you know, with the Patriots, it used to be certainty. It was, they're too good. I don't know if I want any of those guys other than Gronk or Brady. Now it's, I don't know what the hell they're going to be, and I don't want any of those guys. It's a different kind of thought process in terms of fantasy, and it's got us all betwixt and between in terms of figuring out what this team's going to be. But in 2 weeks, two short weeks, we can start to figure it out. And then that means the Hall of Fame game is right around the corner, and we are going downhill into football season. I'll tell you who really wants the NFL to start back up again and take attention away from them. That would be the USA men's basketball team, who lost again last night, this time to Australia, and Twitter was carving them up. We'll get some boom roasted next.
Follow us on Twitter.
That's not fair, but yeah.
At Gresh Keefe, at Keefe21, at The Real Gresh, and always at WEEI.
Looking for Lillard. Durant a three. Too strong. And Dellavedova with a great punch out to Ingles for the exclamation point. Australia up by 8 with 3 seconds left. And it's two straight losses. for Team USA in Las Vegas. 91-83 Boomers.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like out in Vegas yesterday. And, well, pretty ugly. Not broken ankle ugly, but still sprained ugly.
I know Popovich thinks that, you know, the world's great. Everybody's great. And there's never any blowouts.
Right.
And you never lose these games. And, you know, teams lose all the time. Team USA does not lose all the time.
No, they do not.
Exhibition play 54-2 prior to these two. So now 54-4 since they've gone to the pros in 1992. So lost to Nigeria, a loss to Australia, and the Olympics are just around the corner. But, of course, that leads to a nice boom roast. Here's some of the reaction, Gresh, we saw on Twitter. The Team USA's loss last night to Australia. At Yahoo Sportsbook tweeted, Coach Pop to Team USA wants media leave. Cry face emoji.
You think you can do this to me? You'll be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you.
Boom, roasted.
Yeah.
Pelican Bay, it's a tough league, I hear.
It's not helping Coach
it's like
Pop.
California Penal.
It is. At Uptown DC underscore Rich tweeted, Coach K watched Pop coach Team USA to a 2-0 start.
Wouldn't let that happen to me, though.
You know it too, but he went 2-0. But yeah, Coach K, he won, what, 3 straight gold medals, I believe Coach K did.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, you see, after the 04 debacle, he took over. 8 gold medal, 12 gold medal, 16 gold medal.
Kobe couldn't lure him to the Lakers, so Kobe was like, nah, I'll just go play for him here.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, it's a little weird. I was watching last night, kind of zapping around.
Yeah.
NBA TV was replaying, I think it was... So I can't remember who the opponent was, but it was Team USA in the Olympics right before the gold medal game. Kobe Bryant being interviewed by Craig Sager.
Wow.
Sobering.
That is
I was
really,
like, those guys are dead.
That is tough. That is true. Also true. At BetMGM tweeted, Nigeria, Nigeria and Australia after beating the USA Olympic basketball team.
Life like this sure is sweet, huh?
It definitely is.
Boom, roasted.
Just laughing it up, feeling pretty good about themselves. This one's from at You Know Big O. So I'm not sure if that's a Glenn Burner or not, but he tweeted, Mello when Team USA has to call him back.
You could not live with your own failure. Where did that bring you? Back to me.
Boom! Roasted!
It is true. Carmelo Anthony kind of is Captain America, if you will.
He really is.
He's been on a lot of Olympic teams. I know everybody thinks he's an absolute loser, but this is... How about his Team USA resume? He was on the 04 team that won the bronze. Then he was on the 08, the 12, and the 16 team that all won gold. He was also on the World Cup team in 06 and the America's Championship team in 07. He played for Team USA a ton.
He has, and... He's a cigar store Indian in terms of on the court now. He doesn't move, but he can shoot, this team needs it.
They probably should have brought him in, to be honest.
You know what? They might have to make that. Don't you think so? Oh, my arm.
Yep.
Or,
Carmelo's
in. The hamstring. Here's Carmelo.
Bring Carmelo on the team. At DArmstrong44 tweeted, Greg Popovich to Team USA in practice after losing to Nigeria. Be like...
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
I'm roasted.
That's the best Ben Stiller role in any movie. Doesn't
really?
Get enough credit. Yeah, it's probably his best role.
It's the same Ben Stiller role in like 4 other movies.
Yeah, he plays like the White Goodman from Dodgeball.
Awesome.
Is very similar to the counselor from Heavyweights, but Heavyweights was great.
It was
very
tremendous.
Underrated.
I'll just say,
too.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty, though, showed that that was Ben Stiller's movie. That was like Sandler doing Uncut Gems. It was like, oh, he can actually do other things and be good at it.
What about Sandler in Spanglish?
Dude. I haven't seen it. I missed that one.
Yeah, or Funny People.
Pretty good. Funny People or Click.
Click's
great
phenomenal.
Movie.
Yeah, actually, I didn't mind Click. Last one. At King Josiah 54 tweeted, y'all still trying to go to Tokyo for the Olympics? Team USA.
Hell no. To the no, no, no.
There you go.
Yeah, to the no. Yeah, to the no. To the no, no, no. Listen.
Roasted.
Yeah. Maybe you guys want to cancel it? Is there an outbreak over there? Maybe cancel it. Maybe postpone.
Maybe that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is subterfuge from those guys who are like, I don't want to go all the way over there.
Coronavirus is back. We can't go. We can't go. We're deciding not to. No fans? We can't go. We can't go. Right now, let me ask you this right now. Do they win the gold medal?
No.
I'm not sure.
No, they're not winning gold.
I don't think so either.
I think they're the overwhelming favorite.
They still are. Oh, they're not going to figure it out. Favorite, but
there's going to be like Argentina, like Luis Scola is going to be the guy who's going to beat them for like 20 points in an important game.
Because then it gets to like you have that little group stage and whatever. You don't have to run the table there, but then once you get into the the knockout stage, either it's 8 or 16 or I think 8. All right, you lose one of those, you're done.
Now, the typical NBA reporters aren't going to be there, so I'm wondering if Pop is going to get persnickety with a question from, a reporter from the Ukraine or something like that.
So start a world incident.
Yeah. Oh,
Popovich.
International incident. That's right.
That could happen.
I was just, Litho. No, where'd the Ball brothers go? Lithuania.
They play Lithuania.
There you go. The Lithuanian reporter has a question.
Uh-huh.
Can I finish my statement?
Yeah, Pop claps at him.
No, I don't think so, Pop.
Very much so. The All-Star game.
Request denied.
Oh, request denied. That's right. 5 All-Stars for the Red Sox. You feeling that team All-Star pride? I'm not either. What happened to that? We'll get to it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.